אנחנו קוראים בספר כתבי בעל הסולם
reading from Kabbalah for the Students Exile and Redemption. You can watch our lesson at kav.tv. You can also ask questions through the site. Selected questions will be heard in the course of the lesson. Writings of Bala Sulam, Exile and Redemption. We have to pay attention to those articles of Bala Sulam. These are drafts. These are not articles yet. He didn't write it as Matan Torah, as the Arvut or the Ummah or such things. Well, of course, these are writings of Kabbalah or even his letters. Rather, a draft means that I'm still writing what I think. I still don't process it for external people. There are things to it which later on during the articles will be polished. So in a draft there are more points, more internal, intimate points than in the external article that will follow. Exile and redemption. Harmony between religion and the law of development or blind faith. It's on Kabbalah for the Student, page 65. And among these nations shall thou have no repose. And that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all. In that you say, we will be as the nations, as the families of the countries.
אנחנו יוצאים לרצונות שנקרא ישר קל שבאנו לרצונות האגואיסטיות שנקרא אומות העולם שבאנו בכל אחד ואחד שזה קרה נגיד בישראל.
It happened in history with the people of Israel or with each and every one who is now under the control of the nations of the world. And the point of in his heart is in captivity, it's in exile. The Creator will evidently show us that Israel cannot exit in exile and will not find no rest as the rest of the nations that mingled among the nations and found rest and assimilated in them until no trace was left of them. Not so is the house of Israel. This nation will find no rest among the nations until it realizes the verse, and from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him, or you will demand him with all your heart and all your soul. When we learn that we exited Babylon, all the Babylon scattered throughout the world and mingled, and who knows who is whom, from those 70 tribes, let's say, that existed in ancient Babylon, and 70 languages, and so on. There's no difference there because everything is in the will to receive. And in Israel, although there are also 12 tribes and all, it was forbidden for them to mingle between them. But still, what happened? Well, inside Israel too, there was a mixture like in the nations. But between Israel and the nations, although there's an external mixture, this inner mixture doesn't exist to such an extent that Israel are immersed there. Rather, there's the guarantee of the Creator to start with. You know, there's a difference between the vessels of bestowal and vessels of reception. You can't turn them into one thing. So, to the extent that the process is advancing, then we reach a state that all in all, Israel in exile or in the nations of the world or the entire humanity, it begins to meet outside the Israel in them, either through nicer or not such nice actions, but to reject, to emit Israel inside of them. And this is according to the guarantee of the Creator to Israel that there shall be no rest for Israel in the nations. You will have to come out of there and to fulfill your role. This can be examined by studying Providence and the verse which states about us, the Torah is true and all its words are true, and woe to us as long as we doubt its truthfulness. And we say about all the rebuke that is happening to us that it is chance and blind faith. This has but one cure: to bring the troubles back on us to such an extent that we will see that they are not coincidental, but steadfast providence intended for us in the Holy Torah. It's either we take of it by revealing providence and understanding the picture of the world and the system and the plan and the forces operating and revealing everything, because the Creator, He wants us to reveal it from your actions, we know you. And if we're being lazy there, then we activate those forces, nature forces, that need to be revealed in our inclination, through our efforts. If not through our efforts, then they pressure us, those forces which are not revealed according to our time, which we were supposed to reveal them by now, and they pressure us as sufferings, as problems, until severe problems, and then they force us in a very hard way to reveal them nonetheless. Those forces that could have worked on us in a nice, quick, fast development through expansion and all, with good fulfillments, those forces, instead of the potion of life, the potion of death, and they appear in us through great sufferings. And they advance us to their good revelation.
And we should clarify this matter by the law of development itself, the nature of the steadfast guidance that we have attained through the Holy Torah, as in the path of Torah in Providence. A far more rapid development than the other nations has come to us. And because the members of the nation developed so, there was always the necessity to go forward and be extremely meticulous with all the mitzvot of the Torah.
So we came out of Babylon, we received the method of Abraham, we started working as a group, as one man with one heart, love thy friend as thyself. Of course, they revealed all kind of problems along the way. The Torah tells us about it in a kind of an external way, about everything that happened in the internality. But still, there was a great inner development. We understood the rules of the world, how to behave, how to discover the Creator, how to be in touch with Him. It didn't matter to us that we were riding on donkeys instead of a luxurious car or so on. Obviously, people always crave to feel only their necessities, and all the rest they put into spirituality. That was their motto, meaning the foundation of the group of Abraham. And to the extent they couldn't keep it, then they used to teach all that according to the suffering and problems that straightened them up. So it was a rapid development through the light that reforms. Development towards spirituality, the rules of the world, towards what's happening, how we are here. What does it mean here? This is an imaginary world. Behind that, there is the spiritual world. It's the same world, only I restrict myself because I don't see more than this external wrapping. They understood all that. and they were all drawn to the sensual keeping in the corporal level instead of filling themselves with the corporeal, still vegetative and animate. They wanted to fill themselves with the lights, and all the rest was to receive in order to bestow, to fill themselves with the still vegetative, animate, the spiritual ones, in order to reveal the Creator, to correct their soul and reveal the Creator. So this is how they used to advance. Of course, and it was in a different level than the rest of the nations of the world. For all those who only felt this external wrapping, they used to exist only in order to keep it, but there was a great change between the way that group used to exist and then the rest of the nations of the world. The nations of the world, they developed technology, how to profit more, how to succeed more. They entered slavery in all these processes, in the development of the human society, in the development of humanity. And here, that group didn't develop that much. It entirely craved only for inner evolution, and they weren't so much developed in the externality as the rest of the nations of the world, because they had no need of that. In those days, the pace of evolution wasn't that fast, therefore it wasn't felt that much. But they had this ideal of the group of Abraham, the people of Israel, who are already here. And the rest of the nations of the world, their neighbors, were completely opposite with their approach to life. They seemed very awkward to everyone else. They were so much connected to their so-called idol worshipping, so it seemed to the rest of the world. Well, since they did not do that, rather they wanted to mingle their narrow selfishness, meaning lo lishma, meaning gradually the ego grew and started corrupting such an approach of lishma, for her sake, which was in the first temple. And the corruption started. From here, the destruction of the first temple came. They wanted to have the remedies of richness and putting it in front as the rest of the nations. Since the Torah prohibited all that, they have denied the Torah and the prophecy and adopted the manners of the neighbors so they could enjoy life as much as selfishness demanded of them. Even then, already then, they started deteriorating from the Torah of the Spirit to the corporal Torah. And because they did that, the powers of the nations disintegrated. Some followed the kings and the selfish officers, and some followed the prophets. And that separation continued until the ruin. In the second temple, it was even more conspicuous, since the beginning of the separations was publicly displayed by unvirtuous disciples. Meaning the second temple is already after the exile of Babylon. They returned from the exile of Babylon and they built the second temple, meaning still there was an ascent, a certain ascent. But even the great ones of that generation, they weren't in the same level as in the first temple. And the public in general was so corrupted after the exile that they weren't even ashamed to follow richness and control, dominion, and such things. So it started taking form Well, it's not close to us. We still don't understand what it means to descend from spirituality into corporality, but the deterioration was really felt as such. Well, they started using the wisdom of Kabbalah in order to receive. It is even said that the degree of the great priest was bought with money. It was even more conspicuous since the beginning of the separations was publicly displayed in the ruin of the Second Temple by unvirtuous disciples headed by Tzadok and Baitus. Their mutiny against our sages revolved primarily around the obligation of Lishma. As our sages said, "Wise men, be careful with your words," because they did not want to retire from selfishness. They created communities of this corrupt kind and became a great sect called Tzadokim, who are the rich and the officers pursuing selfish desires, unlike the path of Torah. And they fought the Purushim and brought the Roman kingdom's rule over Israel. They are the ones who would not make peace with the imperials, as our sages advised by the Torah, until the house was ruined and the glory of Israel was exiled. Any questions? He writes here, as if he's there. What's the problem? What do you think? The question is it only from his attainment? What, you think he studied history in the university? No, the question is if a Kabbalist can really live the reality in such a way only through spiritual attainment.
Isn't it clear that if he sees the entire system above time, meaning regardless of time, for him it's an order of events, change of actions. So he sees the corruption and how that brokenness has manifested in this world and all the process happened. What's history? When we say that we came out of Babylon and from Abraham, and there's some philosopher that says, no, the wisdom of Kabbalah comes from medieval times. So what can you do? Everyone says according to what they understand. So what do we need to understand? We're not experts in that. We don't understand the process of the descent, how it was a very prolonged and painful process that people resisted. And there were many problems and struggles there, like the Maccabees, and there was a struggle to try to keep the Lishma, because people understood that it's either you are by the Creator's side and you're a human, or you're a beast living for 80 years just like the donkey next to you. And therefore the deterioration was hard for everyone. Even those that he says here are the officers and the rich and the tzedokim and so on, they all understood, but they just couldn't overcome. They couldn't resist their ego, which dragged them and carried them onwards. You know, and it's like a bunny that walks into the mouth of the snake. You saw it once, it's like the snake hypnotizes it, and then it just walks right to it. There are situations like that. So this is like it happens for us in a descent. We have to examine ourselves to see and to how it works. Not to agree with it, of course, but when there is a descent, you have to see how your ego, your will to receive works on you, how weak you are, how you're incapable, you fall down, you decline, and you see it happening and you can't do anything. only the environment, the light that comes through it, and so on. So those were not simple years. And it's not like the wicked ones surfaced and said, we don't want to. No, but even the sages declined in their degree, although they still kept their level of lishma. This is the decline of the generations. But all the issue that we spoke about before as well is only in order to hold on to lishma and hold on to it in the true way. What is Torah lishma? Lishma means that I'm studying for my own correction, nothing else. And mitzvot means that I'm correcting my desire. That is comprised of 613 desires. That's what I call the mitzvot. And the Torah means the light that comes and corrects my desires, performs those mitzvot, those corrections. And I only make the preparations for it to happen. It's called the Creator will finish the work for me. And as a result of these corrected desires, I discover the Creator, that force of one unique and unified. So that this core, this attitude of opening the book and studying and directing myself exactly towards that, this is the main thing. And that was, that point was the struggle, that was the war between those people and the other people. Well, today it's already, what can we do? We'll have to rise. But rising is only by scrutinizing, clarifying what is lishma. Not these words necessarily, lishma, lo lishma, but the rise happens by clarifying what is man's role, what is the purpose of life, what's the meaning of life, as he asks. That's the entire difference. Either I study how many pages I'll know, how will I know what's written there, and so on. I'll go through tests. Or I'm counting my efforts in bringing the light that reforms. Yes.
In light of the importance you dedicate to this topic also today and Bala Sulam as well, I want to understand why the struggle is here in the externality, in reading the text and intending either to the quantity of pages or the intention. This is the foundation that splits the entire reality from above downward. So why is it here where the main problem is?
The entire approach of not to become corrected. Anything else is philosophy. Even our sciences, our natural sciences here in this world, it's still included within that title of philosophy because it's all not towards the truth. You discover a few things here and there, yeah, but it doesn't really help you. You don't discover the force operating in the world, and therefore it doesn't really help you. You can't really gain control. You can build all kinds of toys in this world that can help you all kinds of things you don't do all kinds of things you don't need. And it only extends the exile and the brokenness. But the approach is the approach to life in general, meaning where is humanity going back to now? Lishma. The whole of humanity, the entire humanity. This is what Abraham, in fact, wanted to do in Babel. What does it mean, lishma? That there is a force correcting the person in order to elevate him to the level of the Creator. That's it. And that's our entire life. Don't know what else to add. Therefore, today, the world is at the start of a really not non-simple scrutiny. And it's completely new, and it will have to discover things that, just like I hear that our friends are starting to explain in various places what integral education is, and then people are saying, ah, so you're trying to change the human? Yes, of course we are. Of course we're changing the human. What else do we need to change? We try to change the external environment enough to the point that we can barely breathe or drink. We have to change the human, and that is called from philosophy to lishma, or even lo lishma.
I want to ask from this point where Baal HaSulam describes it has a high root, but there is this gap between the externality of the Torah and the internality of the Torah.
That
this
too.
Is the beginning.
That too, yeah. But, you know, let's make it more concealed.
So this is my question, and it's clear to us from the study that the most difficult part, Rabash writes about it as well, that the part of the externality of the Torah will be corrected last, and he devotes a lot of attention to it, especially to this scrutinization between these two things. Secular people don't care about it either. They have rejection, but still it is very important both to you, Baal HaSulam, to elaborate on that point, and it seems irrelevant to ordinary people. So what is the root of the thing that he emphasizes and puts so many efforts into?
Because it misleads other people. It misleads the whole world. On the one hand, it's as though it comes instead. When you talk to people, they say, we have everything. We don't need the wisdom of Kabbalah. Thank God we have it all. And they don't understand that the wisdom of Kabbalah doesn't come instead of anything, and it's not an addition to someone who has all kinds of desires. Rather, it is the main thing in life. According to that, we feel the world and look at life each and every moment that we live. That livelihood is measured by how much we are connected and directed to the source of life. And the wisdom of Kabbalah directs us towards that source exactly. Therefore, our secure life, advancing in the safest, pleasant, most pleasant and good way to the good that does good to the purpose of creation. This is the most important thing in man's life. We are now in the beginning of the process where the higher providence, through the crisis, through nature and various events, will forcefully clean us from all the extras and leave us with barely anything to breathe and somehow provide for ourselves, so that we are finally free in our narrow mind and broken desires to understand what is really important in life. If you don't want to come to it in a good way from goodness, then I will position a king over you as Haman, and then you will all repent, as it says. So it's very important for us to distinguish between all of the dealings of people and this scale that needs to be shifted, which is the urgency for the correction of men. And this is really what we would like to do under the title Integral Education. And approaching those layers who have fulfillment, and as if they feel they have everything, we're not permitted to go there because they have something against that. And there are some people who are sort of indifferent. They don't really object to the wisdom of Kabbalah, so to them we can turn.
In light of all that, when there is such a clear division, still he dedicates a lot of time to that, to this scrutinization between these two parts, the externality and the internality of the Torah. He dedicates a lot to that. Although you say as well, he says that the externality of the Torah will be corrected later.
He's not really talking about people that he would like to draw from there, because, you know, like Rabash said, he was willing to speak, to talk to stones, because how many people listened, you know, who knew him and who respected him. He wanted to make the difference between the revealed wisdom and the concealed wisdom, according to what the masses understand. Because a Kabbalist sees in all those books of the revealed wisdom, what we call the revealed wisdom, meaning the Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud, the Gemara, the Mishnah, Psalms, even, you know, the Shulchan Aruch, take the Rambam and all his interpretations. It's all Kabbalah, of course. You think it's really about all kinds of... Why does he write to you what's required in the temple? All of this teaching about the sacrifices and the altar and this and that. Why do we need all that? Only in order to rise to the spiritual level and work there in these things. This is very important. Other than that, there's a big problem that the name of Kabbalah is being corrupted. But again, the important thing is only lishma, the scrutiny of this.
Now, with respect to us,
concept.
when we hear and read about it, it is clear to me that there is a point which is relevant for me as well, although I have no attraction towards the externality of the Torah, but this scrutinization is deep within me, so how do I have to relate to it?
Well, it's superstitions, it's the general approach to life, it's the inclination of the person to, you know, don't make idols and so on, all types of idol worshipping. All kinds of idol worshipping that man does in his life in various ways. The question is this: either there is something that you build from materials of this world, and you relate holiness to it, or it is there to mention to you and remind you about holiness. This is the question. Either I think that the doorpost, mezuzah, guards me, or what I'm saying is that it reminds me that there is one force, as what's written there, that there is one force. And this is what guards me. And guards me from what? From the klipot, from the shells. When I go out of the door, meaning out to the influence of the external world, you understand there is a principle point here, fundamental principle in the observation of reality. Well, and it's good for the one who understands this. We shouldn't continue. Let's go forward.
Kabbalah for this year, in page 66, the difference between a secular ideal and religious ideal. A secular ideal stems from humans, and hence cannot raise itself above humans. But a religious idea, which stems from the Creator, can raise itself above humanity.
Also, the issue of what's secular and religious. When he talks about religion, he only talks purely about the wisdom of Kabbalah, that talks about the correction of the desires, man's correction, that he understands that this is what he needs to do in life, correct himself. Secular means anyone who's not engaged in that. His division here is completely different. It's not according to how people see this, people on the street see this. Those who engage in the Torah as a light that reforms, and that's why they engage in the Torah, and those who do whatever it is, but other than that.
This is because the basis for secular ideal is equalization. And the price of glorifying men and the acts to boast in the eyes of people. And although one is sometimes disgraced in the eyes of one's contemporaries, one still relies on other generations, and it is still a precious thing for him, like a gem that fuels its owner, although no one knows of it or cherishes it.
Meaning that this is the main thing to him. Aware of it or not, he always keeps himself in the optimal good way towards the environment. This is how his ego directs him, and consciously or subconsciously, to look as good as possible towards the others. Wealth, honor, knowledge, in short, to keep himself, to elevate himself towards the creatures. And his measurement is the environment.
A religious idea, however, is based on glory in the eyes of God. Hence, he who follows a religious idea can raise himself above humans.
He measures himself only towards the Creator. Where am I towards Him? Do I direct myself or not? Feel Him more or less? Do I justify Him or not? Past, present, and future. Everything towards that. And then certainly he has no relation to others unless, if he can, and it's according to the time and possibility, if he can bring them closer also to the same direction and tendency, perception of reality that he has. So it's a completely different measurement, different relation to life, different relation to himself. Either I am the means, and everything around me is also a means to draw the light that reforms, or I'm trying to use up the entire world in order to raise myself. Who's leading, in short, the Creator or Pharaoh?
And so it is among the nations of our exile. As long as we followed the path of Torah, we remained safe, for it is known to all the nations that we are a highly developed nation, and they wanted our cooperation. They exploit us, each according to their own selfish desires. Yet, we still had great power among the nations, for after all the exploitation, there still remained a handsome portion left for us, greater than for the civilians of the land.
If we hold on to Lishma, even if we are wiser and everyone wants to take advantage of us and we are in exile, the Lishma still stays between us. And then we live among all the nations and help them with whatever they need from us. But Lishma is kept and we are directed to the Creator. If it was so, then the exile would take a whole different form than how it happened, basically. However,
because people rebelled against the Torah in their aspiration to execute their selfish ploys, they lost life's purpose, meaning the work of God. And because the sublime goal was swapped for selfish goals of life's pleasures, anyone who attained fortune raised his own goal with glory and beauty. And where the religious man scattered his monetary surplus on charity, good deeds, building seminaries and other such collective needs, the selfish ones scattered their surplus on the joys of life, food and drink, clothing and jewels, and equalized with the prominent in every nation. By these words, I only mean to show that the Torah and the natural law of development go hand in hand in wondrous unity, even with blind faith. Thus, the bad incidences in the exile, which we have much to tell of from the days of our exile, were all because we embezzled the Torah. And if we kept the commandments of the Torah, no harm would come to us.
Well, we can't go into all these calculations, what would happen if this happened or that happened, if they kept themselves or not. We were in a fact of reality. We have to see everything that happened as none else besides Him. Only He gives this to us as a condition, not to look at it as something was possible or wasn't possible. We're not dealing with the past. He wants to say that there's a law. If we keep it, here's what happens. If we don't, then this is what happens. Why couldn't we keep it before? That's a whole different question. We needed to decline and had to go through a certain process, but He tells us there's a law here. And if we keep it, then we reach wholeness. If we don't keep it, and it doesn't matter why, we reach whatever we reach. But again, there's a decline of the generations, and now we reach a point where everyone is in Lolishma, and we have lost completely everything, and it's a generation that is in debt, as it's called.
What does it mean to fight in holding for her sake? What does it mean to fight on holding to Lishma for her sake?
To correct oneself through love of others, to love of the Creator. That's called holding on to Lishma. The Torah Lishma, the Lishma of the Torah. What is the word Lishma? What does it mean? The Torah, which is the instruction, the Hora'ah, was given so that if you use it correctly, you draw the light that reforms. That light works on your broken desires. If you don't feel these desires as broken, it first shows you they're broken. After you see they're broken, then you want them to be corrected. Corrected of what? From reception to bestowal. From in order to receive to in order to bestow. This is called broken, to receive for oneself. In order to bestow is called corrected, because by that you resemble the Creator, at least in that specific desire. So that's how you advance. The Torah, then, is called the light that reforms. If you use everything you have, the friends, the group, the study, dissemination, this entire device, this means, if you use it to correct yourself, this, all of it together, is called Torah. Or the workers of the Torah, the students of the Torah, all of that is called Torah.
How does one scrutinize if he is in Lishma?
According to his intention. Two people can read from the same book. One could study Torah, the other could study wisdom. Why? Because one wants to be corrected, and he studies in order to do that to begin with, and every moment he checks himself whether he's intending for that or if he becomes like the nations of the world instead of directly to the Creator. So one examines himself like this if he studies the Torah, and the other studies wisdom, just like it says, if wisdom in the nations believe. So we always have to be measuring that, testing that intention. Lishma, lishma is the whole thing. Lishma means, do you want to use this device for your own correction? Yes.
Timur from Tbilisi is asking, if Kabbalisi, the whole system, and know what's supposed to happen, why did Baal HaSulam hope that he will be able to change what is about to happen?
I don't want to hear these questions. This is not to the point. What Kabbalists say, we don't talk about these things. What they know, we don't know.
Still, I want to ask about our study as well. We had a wonderful workshop on Sunday that focused our intention how to work during the lesson, and I thought that perhaps in order to evoke and do it, especially here, we should have a workshop during the first hour of the morning lesson, so that we will see it in the form of circles, start with it, and then move on to the rest of the lesson. The whole lesson should be up front in this part of the hall, and have a workshop every morning lesson, and not once in a while. We'll have questions, we'll discuss it, and we'll continue the lesson burning from within, all of us.
Tomorrow, we'll try to do a lesson without any introductions, without any entry, straight to the Zohar, with whatever intentions you come with from home. It all depends on you. We come and start studying. With Rabash, there wasn't even one word about how to arrange ourselves or how to do anything. It was all clear that if you're here, read the articles, you'll see what's been required, and that's it. We're talking about it so much. We are strengthening each other so much. I don't think that... Well, let's try it for now. Maybe keep your advice for a bit more time. For later. Yes.
I understood that I can be here for several years and be in Lolishma.
You're a radio anchor.
Yeah, exactly. So what causes the change? When does it happen and why?
When you hear what we're saying, you can hear lishma, lishma, correcting oneself, yeah, and all of this goes 15 centimeters next to your ear, then 10, then 5, and then maybe it enters. That's how it works. This is the measure of your coarseness next to your ear that doesn't allow the wavelength to come in, and then gradually, until it strikes in.
But in advance, I study in Lo Lishma, necessarily.
This is called from Lo Lishma, you come to Lishma, because you know that you're not, but you want, and you hear, and you don't hear, and you're somehow on the track. You're on the path. There's a road, and you somehow... you're walking it.
And also the Lishma is a kind of, at least in the first stages, is Lo Lishma, because I want to be great in the eyes of society, and so the teacher said, and so on and so forth.
This is called Lo Lishma. This is called Lo Lishma.
So what is Lishma?
Lishma is that the desires you use are all working in order to bestow contentment to the Creator, or to others, or through others to the Creator. And, well, in short, after you, when you stop directing them back to yourself, and there are also changes there even, until you go through to the point of not in order to receive any reward. What? Is that possible?
Yeah.
Well, let the light do it. If you ask me, of course it's not. The light does it. With this...
Kabbalah experience in Haifa today, Tuesday, 7 p.m. We're going to have our weekly meeting with Rav Lightman in Haifa. It will be broadcasted on the internet, on Cup TV. Admission is free. The truth, you should reveal it. An open day in Kabbalah Academy before the new semester. We invite you next Monday, September 3rd at 6:30 p.m. in all the branches of the Kabbalah Academy throughout Israel. Details at 1-700-509-209 and at cup.coil. Thank you and have a lovely, lovely day.
I'm on the path towards a goal I run, no time for rest. My journey's just begun, it's all uphill. No finish line in sight, I'm the one fuel. And I can't see the light, I stop and pray. For the strength to go on, my mind says stop. But my heart is strong, suddenly He is by my side, pushing me with His loving drive. He evokes this love I can't explain. And all I want is for Him to attain.
Yeshakel, it is the only way. Yeshakel, let's turn this night into day. Yeshakel, I'm not turning back. Let's use this life to attack. We move on. The rain is coming down. The path is tough, but we hold each other up. It really slows us down. We're both so tired. He wants to turn around. We pray together for our strength to grow. Suddenly, they are by our side, pushing us with His loving drive. They evolve this love we can't explain. Now we want is for them to attain. Yashakel, it is the only way. Yashakel, let's turn this night into day. Yashakel, let's use this light to attack. La la la, la 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 la.